Hello, I'm Glenn Ridge for Famous Insurance. At 31 years of age, Molly Taylor is an inspiration to many young women, having achieved so much in the dirt rally scene in a very short period of time. She's raced in Europe, won an Australian Rally Championship, and currently drives for the Subaru Do Motorsport team. And she joins me. How are you, Molly?
I'm very well, thanks.
Very busy lady at the moment. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, it's been a really busy year so far. So I'm doing the Australian Rally Championship with Subaru Do Motorsport. So that's about halfway through the season. And I'm also doing a few TCR events, which is a new circuit racing series just launched in Australia. So my first time circuit racing too. So it's been, very busy, but getting lots of seat time and having a lot of fun.
Very quickly, if you don't mind, talking about your early days and before you actually got into the motor racing scene, tell us about your mum and dad.
Yeah, so my mum and dad obviously met through motorsport. My dad was competing in the Australian Championship in a XYGT Falcon. Mum was a professional co-driver for Toyota, and they won four Australian Championships, Neil Bates and the Toyota team. So, I grew up very much surrounded by the sport, but didn't get involved until I got my licence, really.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that because although petrol, one would assume, was flowing through your blood, it was more horses you were intrigued with earlier in the piece.
Yeah, I think I had an adrenaline side in me. This has always been there. I was really into eventing and loved the cross-country aspect of horse riding. So I think it was just the same kind of adrenaline need channeled through horses and then discovered that, you know, you can get more than one horsepower.
So how old were you when you eventually switched to the cars?
I was about 16 when I started, so it was around the time that I was getting my license for the road. And so it merely just started as a driver training exercise to go to a rally school and, learn some driving skills and some car control. But for me, that was the first time I experienced the thrill of being behind the wheel and, sort of snowballed from there.
Is it true you sold your horse to buy a car?
It is very true.
What sort of car?
I mean, it was an upgrade in horsepower, but felt a bit sorry for the car. So, it was a TA22 Solita.
Were you studying or at that stage had you decided that you were definitely going to go into motor racing or what were you thinking at that age?
So I was in sort of finishing my high school. So I did my HSC and then applied for uni, got into uni, started a commerce degree at the Sydney University and got one semester through and decided I was trying to save up to go and do a rally at the end of the year in the UK in this one mate series I had over there. So I thought it'd be a great way just to sort of pitch myself against the best juniors over in Europe where rallying's a lot bigger. So I was working some jobs on the side to try and raise the money and then I realised I didn't have enough time to make the money that I needed. So I deferred the uni course after one semester so I could work full time for those few months. Did that, saved money, went over to the UK and then moved to the UK the following year and, I've still done Microeconomics 101 and that's about where we are.
Many years ago, I was lucky enough to be a part of the Dutton Rally Series, which went around through Victoria, New South Wales. I had one up in Queensland, also one in Perth, I think, for a while there. And this very sweet young lady joined us one year. Was that your first time in that sort of competitive car?
Very, very early on. And my dad came with me, and in those Dutton rallies, you could do dual entries and share a car. So it was awesome fun, and Dad and I both drove. Yeah, as you know, they were very social, very fun. Got to do a whole range of different exercises from motor carters to sprints around the racetrack. Yeah, it was a great thing for me just to get in different environments in the car and learn from that side and also just to be involved in the motorsport community and kind of.
You debuted in the Australian Rally Championship in 2007. Now, what was that like? Because at that stage, my recollection is there were many ladies who were navigating, but very few who were actually behind the wheel. So you broke the mould to a degree there, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of women that I sort of grew up watching compete in the Australian series. But from the driver's side, only a handful. So it was certainly a minority. But, to be honest, growing up watching my mum do it professionally as a co-driver, it never occurred to me that it was something that wasn't a place for women or it was a bit weird or abnormal for a woman to be competing. So, I was lucky in that sense that I didn't really ever have to overcome that mental barrier. But in terms of doing my first ARC, I was young and naive, didn't really know what I was doing, but just great to jump in the deep end. And we actually, I think we finished sixth or something in a Mitsubishi Mirage. So it was one of my best result, my best result at that time anyway. So yeah, it all went really well.
Can you tell us about the British Ladies Rally Championship? You touched on it a moment ago. Can you tell us what that was all about?
Yeah, so I decided after competing in the Australian Championship in the Mitsubishi Mirage, which is a great sort of car, I guess, as a foundation to learn the skills before sort of going into something too high-powered or too expensive. So the theory was to always try and learn to drive the door handles off a cheaper car, and then you were ready to step up to the next thing. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of those sort of one-make, cheaper entry-level competitive series in Australia. So the next step here was for me to go into a four-wheel drive car, which was a lot more money and money that I didn't have. So I looked at going to Europe, where they had a lot of one-make series. So the British Rally Championship had, it was called the Suzuki Swift Sport Cup. And so they were Suzuki Swift. They were pretty much standard. They had some gravel suspension in them, and that was about it. Roll cage, obviously all the safety gear, but in terms of performance, you know, the engines were stock standard. They were quite cost effective, and because they had so many people competing in the same car, it didn't matter that the car wasn't as fast as an outright winning car. It just mattered how your performance was against other people in the same car. So that was the whole theory of going over there. And it just kind of snowballed from there, I guess. Just jumped in and moved to Europe and lived there for 4 years. And yeah, had an amazing time.
What were your aspirations when you first took part in the Ladies Rally Championship? Did you always want to get into the World Rally Circuit, or what were you hoping for?
Yeah, I mean, the World Rally Championship's always every rally driver's dream. So yeah, you know, I wanted to make a career out of doing what I loved, and really fortunate to have the opportunity to have a scholarship to compete in the Junior World Rally Championship, and competed there for a couple of years, and we managed to get a podium at Rally Finland, which was one of my most memorable moments of my career so far. And through all of that, you know, I guess you never really plan exactly, well, you try to plan, but you never know exactly what way everything's going to go. And I got offered a couple of years ago the opportunity to join the Subaru factory team here, and it was something I couldn't turn down.
When we talk about a driver overseas, particularly a young person, whether you're male or female, it's hard yards, isn't it? You're away from home, and there's lots of things happening around you. Can you tell us a little bit about what was going through your mind at some of the highs and also some of the low periods of that time?
Yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. I remember first arriving there, and I didn't at that stage have enough money to sort of see the season out. It was just a case of getting there and trying to scrape it all together as we went along. It all seemed like a great adventure until I actually landed. Didn't really know anyone, had no money, and then it got a bit overwhelming. But I think the biggest things I learned from that whole experience and the time over there was to be able to put yourself outside of your comfort zone that much, and then how much you learn and develop, and then those people and the networks that you make. And then when people see you going after something you're passionate about, then what opportunities that arise from there. And it was, one door led to another door. And I think it was just all from putting yourself out there. I think ultimately I was just so passionate about rallying that, puts everything in perspective. And as far as, living away from home and being quite lonely a lot of the time, on the flip side, you're over in Europe traveling to all different countries and driving a rally car. So, it was all worth it.
How old were you then, Molly?
I was 20 when I moved over.
Okay. What sort of support people do you have around you when you're doing such a big thing like that?
So it was me. I went on my own. And I had a contact at the team who were running these Suzuki's that I was driving for the first year. So I met them, and I was just really fortunate that they were very welcoming. I spent most of the days helping work on the car, prep the car in the workshop. So they welcomed me there. They helped find converted barn that I rented to live in. And then from there, I think the great thing about motorsport and rallying is all over the world, it attracts the same kind of people, and the community is very strong. So from, spending a year over there, I met through friends of friends, and, the following year was loaned a car from an incredibly generous family in Ireland, and they became my extended family. And yeah, it was just sort of people that I met, and you get involved in that community, and wherever you go in the world, it's lovely to know that there's people like you.
Molly, when did it become apparent to you that your dream of racing permanently in the World Rally Championship wasn't going to be, and how did you cope with that period?
It was interesting, actually. I had a sponsor who we were all lined up to do the Junior World Rally Championship, so things were going quite well. And then it was very suddenly, lost that sponsor, which was, unforeseen, and was sort of quite a shock, because it was February and we were planning for that year. And so all of a sudden I didn't have a program anymore. And it's very difficult, obviously, to find that kind of budget, because no matter how good you are, you need a lot of money as well. So that was all a bit sudden, and it was really through Scott Petter back in Australia. He wanted to go and compete over in Europe, and so he said to me if I could help him, you know, introduce him to the contacts that I'd made over there, so could facilitate something for him, he would in return lend me his car that he'd won the Australian Rally Championship in the year prior here in Australia. So for me, you know, whilst it wasn't the trajectory that I thought I had that year, it was another, you know, incredible opportunity and something that I wouldn't have had access to. And whilst it was coming back to Australia, which seemed like a step back, if I hadn't have been competing that in Scott's Renault, then I don't think I would have been seen by Subaru here in Australia. I don't think I would have been offered the job I've got now. So it was not the original plan I had for myself, but then to look at the flip side with what facilitated a factory drive, it was a bit of a dream come true.
Where do you get your motivation from, Molly? Because lots of people would have been down in the dumps and thinking, bugger, bugger, bugger. But you managed to drag a positive out of what many would deem a negative.
I think it's just the nature of the sport. You know, everyone goes through those moments. As you would know, when you get behind the wheel and you drive a lap or do a rally stage and it just all clicks, there's no feeling like that. So all you need to do is that, and that keeps going for, you know, until you can scrape everything together to do it again. So I think that element of the pure enjoyment of that.
Now, you came over and, came home, I should say, to the Australian Rally Championship, the first lady to win a heat of that championship in 2015. That must have been a hoot.
Yeah, it was cool, actually, because I mean, I've been competing overseas for quite a few years, and, you know, it's so competitive over there, and it's such a great environment, but I think it's easy to kind of see over there in the junior WRC, and, you know, you come sort of looking back from on the other side of the hemisphere, you know, you think, oh, this, you know, whatever, it's not a great result. But over there, when it's, you know, you've got 10 really competitive people or 15 or 20 or whatever, it's all very close, and it is a good result. So, it was good, I think, for me to come back to Australia and be able to prove my speed on sort of home turf, I guess. And I wasn't expecting to go and win the first heat. So that was just, I guess, the icing on the cake, to be able to come back and prove the speed that you are going at, because I think it might not have been really appreciated or recognised until then.
So when did the Subaru deal start?
That was from the start of 2016.
And that was a very memorable year for you.
Yeah, we won the championship. So that was, again, unexpected. I think we set the goal of top five. We thought would be a realistic target for us. Yeah, it all went very well.
A couple of people I've got to mention, and you can comment if you like. Bill Hayes, your navigator.
Yeah, Bill, he was instrumental. When I came back to Australia, my co-driver, Seb Marshall, at the time, obviously from the UK, so that wasn't going to be practical here in Australia. So I rang up Bill. Bill had just retired, and obviously very successful ex-Subaru Works co-driver as well with Dean Herridge. So I rang him up and basically pleaded with him not to retire. And I think, to be honest, he just felt a bit sorry for me, because I'd come back and I had this car and this truck that Scott Petter had loaned me, but I basically, you know, I was going out the next week to get my truck license so I could drive the truck. And at that stage, I was just trying to hobble together some people to come and help out. And I think he just had a bit of pity on me initially and said, oh, I'll come and help you out for a few rounds. But yeah, we clicked straight away, and I was really fortunate to be able to jump in with him. And, you know, winning our first heat was just testament to really a lot of him being able to, you know, jump in and pick up and help me.
We should mention being a navigator is a very crucial part of a racing team, particularly in the rally circuit. Could you ever be a navigator, do you reckon?
I actually co-drove for Harry Bates, my arch rival, in one of his very first rallies, so it's a little bit of fun. I didn't mind it. I definitely prefer being behind the wheel. So on the odd occasion, I would have a go for a bit of a laugh, but I think I just get too distracted watching the driving and then get to call them.
I did mention I was going to say a couple of names to you. There's a guy who has been a part of the Australian motor racing scene for many, many years, and to many people would be totally unknown, but I know he's been an instrumental part of your racing career here in Australia, and that's Les Walkden.
You know, Les is an icon of rallying in this country, and he is, as a competitor himself initially, still competes. He competed in the last rally in Tasmania in a Mitsubishi Pajero, taking out, you know, feeding some of the more traditional rally cars. But yeah, he has been a team owner with Les Walkden Rallying for a long time now, and helped support the careers of lots of young drivers in Australia. So for me, when we did the deal with Subaru, Les Walkden was running the car, and you know, he gave me that opportunity and facilitated me to be able to become a rally driver as a profession, and also, you know, win the first championship. That was with his team.
Yeah, I should say a ripper bloke though.
Yeah, I don't think you would find a bigger supporter of rallying in the country, the amount that he's done for the sport. Yeah, it's just incredible. And you know, I'm someone that owes a huge chunk of my career to him, and there's a lot of other drivers, Eli Evans, Brendan Reeve, Cody Crocker, just a huge list of Australian rally champions that owe a big part of their career to what he's done.
Well and truly. Ed Ordinski, throw that name in there as well, too.
Yeah, Ed, yeah, definitely.
While we're talking about the Australian Rally Championship, last year at the Rally of Australia, you must have thanked enormously the man who put that hay bale in front of the tree or the person who put that hay bale in front of the tree. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, we'd been basically 3 years of running with Les without any incidents, and then, so I guess the nature of the sport, when you're trying to drive on the edge, that sometimes you get it wrong, and last year, the last round, unfortunately, that's what I did, and we just came over a crest. It was not a big jump, but just a small jump, and as the car landed, it just landed a little bit off centre, not completely straight. Just meant that when the rear suspension compressed, one side compressed before the other one, and it basically rebounded off that at a bit of an angle, and it was just a really narrow road. We were in fifth gear doing 150, 160, and so the car just skipped a little bit to the right and basically straight into this hay bale, which was in front of a tree stump. So at that speed, yeah, it all happens within a split second, and it was all over.
Molly, that was a big crash. I'm sure you'll agree, and I'm sure people around you would agree. Mentally, after that, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, it was 12G that it registered. So my co-driver, Malcolm, and I were a bit sore after that. Thankfully, that was it. But, yeah, I think for me, you know, in rallying, you're always on that edge. And, you know, even when you might have moments you get away with that, you know, could have been an incident. So you're used to being on that edge. And I think for me, when it does go wrong, the most important thing is just to realise what went wrong and understand what you did or what happened so that you don't do it again. And I think once you understand that, then it kind of, it doesn't become, you know, something you're afraid of. It's just something that you learn from and, you know what to do again. I think if you didn't know what happened, then you wouldn't know if you were going to do it again. So as long as you can take something from it, then I found when you get back in the car, you're back in your rhythm doing your thing, and you just know not to make that mistake again.
Can you just take us through what you do at the start of an event, for example, putting together your pace notes and all that sort of thing and the preparation you put in to make sure that you minimise those sort of situations as best you can?
Yeah, so we do what's called a reconnaissance before the event. So normally a couple of days before the rally, we drive over all the stages just in a standard road car at 60 k's an hour. And that's where we develop the pace notes, which is the numbering system that will describe the speed of the corner and any other variations or things in the road. So, you know, for example, that note was something like a slight left, you know, light crest into don't cut five right. So obviously the don't cut was for the hay bale, which I obviously didn't read the memo. So we basically write this system that tells us the speed, and it's partly safety so that we keep the car on the road, and then the other side of it is also making what you can describe to tell yourself the optimal line and the optimal speed so you can actually, you know, really commit to the road almost as a circuit that you know all the corners already. So that's where the real art of pace notes comes down to.
Testament to the team around you and the preparation of the car, and I don't mean to harp on about that event, but to me that was a prime example of how much safer rally cars are now than what they were 5, 10, certainly 20 years ago.
Oh, 100%. I mean, as I said, it registered 12 G's of force on the impact. I think it was probably about 130, 140 k's an hour that the speed was before we stopped. It did a lot of damage to the car, but yeah, we were just a bit sore. And then the Les Walton team rebuilt that car and it competed in Tasmania a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, to do that and to still, I mean, obviously a lot of parts were replaced, but the car itself is still out there running.
What's worse, trees on the side of the road or other cars around you? You talked about the TCR racing. What's it like now being on a track with other lunatics next year?
I mean, it takes some getting used to. I'm finding, the TCR series is just such a great concept, and you've got all these different types of cars, but they're all essentially built to the same specification or same speed. So it's really close racing, and the caliber of all the drivers there. They're all professionals or ex-professionals. So for me coming in with zero experience, I'm starting back at the ground level and having to work my way up. But I'm just learning so much. And it's like another one of those things, I think, that when if I think back to moving over to Europe 10 years ago, it's the same kind of feeling of putting yourself way outside your comfort zone, but then how much you learn and grow. So I feel like I'm doing that process all over again. Really enjoying it. And I thought it was, well, it is very daunting having all the cars around you, but what I'm quickly learning is, you know, if you're doing 100, they're doing 100. So it's not like you're going to, you know, bumping up against trees at stationary. If you're all moving at the same speed, the bumps aren't so bad.
I think it's interesting. The thing I love about it, Molly, is that it's going back to the old days. It's a European format, and the fact that there are different makes of cars in there, and they're all small cars and small powered cars.
Yeah, it's a fantastic concept, because basically the cars are capped to what you can do to them. So in terms of money is a huge thing in motorsport, and trying to control those costs. So the fact that there's only so much you can do with the car means it's a lot more accessible. All the cars are, as you say, smaller hatches, which are quite relevant to the market. So they're all based on cars that are big sellers on the road. So from a marketing sense, to be showcasing these cars, and then they basically, yeah, wind them up to 350 horsepower, put big guards on them, big wings, so they look fantastic. They go really well. They're based off the road cars and make some really close racing, which is really exciting to watch as a fan.
So, Molly, 2019, what are you up to as far as motor racing, and where do you want to be in 2020?
So, you're doing the rally and the TCR this year, so it's a very busy and big learning year for me. But, yeah, obviously, we came close to winning a second Australian Championship in 2017. We're second at the moment in this year's series. So I think definitely winning another Australian Championship is on the agenda. And I'd love to just keep digging into this circuit racing stuff and trying to improve my skill there. So if I could do both and be in the car every second weekend, I'd be a very happy person in 2020.
Molly, you're a young lady, and certainly as far as continuing with rallying on an international stake, there's no reason why you can't do that. Is that flame still burning there somewhere?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to do it. I think at the moment it's trying to figure out a way to get a Subaru that's eligible for some of those championships over there, because I'm really loving working with Subaru here and very happy being in the Subaru family. So they've got some cars in the US that are doing really well, and you know, potentially with the way the regulations are changing, there's every opportunity to do something over there in the future. So I'm definitely going to try and keep those doors open.
I know you're a great inspiration for many young ladies, not only in motorsport, but just in life in general. What advice do you give to not only a young lady, but also a young man who wants to follow their dreams?
I think so. The biggest things, I guess, that I've learned is, you know, the first thing is always remembering what it is that you love about the sport, because sometimes when it gets pretty tough, it's easy to forget those things. And I think if you're really clear on why you're doing it, then it quickly puts everything else into perspective. And if you want it that much, you'll be prepared to do the hard work. And yes, I think just being clear on that and then accepting that it's going to be tough and, you know, want it bad enough, then you'll work hard to make it happen.
Hey, also, just before we let you go, I know Famous are thrilled to have you as a part of what they're doing.
Yeah, I love working with the team there. And I actually met them through insuring my own classic car. Someone told me to be smart and buy a house and start being a bit of an adult, and I was saving a house deposit, and then found an old BMW that looked pretty nice, so I bought that. And so I sort of have a few older cars, a bit of a hobby on the side, and found Famous through trying to find someone to insure those cars, and got to know the guys there. And they're just such a great team and really passionate about cars and bikes and what they do, so it's nice to be able to work with someone who shares that same feeling.
I can't not ask the question, what are the little cars in the shed then?
So the BMW is an E30 M3 that I found out a few years ago, so that's sitting there. My mum and I also have gone halves in an Audi Quattro, 1981 UR Quattro, which has got a lot of rally history, so that one's got a special place. And I very, very recently just bought a Subaru Brumby. It's a big restoration project. It's all the panels and things, and it's got a bit of rust, but that's going to try and restore that one.
Good on you, Molly. Hey, thank you very much for your time, and good luck for the remainder of this year and also next year.
Thank you very much.